Well, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here again for the preaching of the gospel. I appreciate the opportunity and trust this might be a time of blessing for the few minutes we are together this Sunday night for the preaching of the gospel. I'd like to read one verse from the Bible. This is the most important part of any meeting, the reading of the Word of God, because we do believe this is God's Word, and God has made clear His way of salvation through His Word, the Bible. And we're going to read one verse from the book of Romans. Book of Romans, if you have a Bible and want to follow the reading, Romans is in the New Testament part of the Bible. And it is, in fact, the sixth book in the New Testament. So you've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And then you have the book of the Acts. And then you have the book of Romans. And we're reading in chapter 10, and it's verse number 13. The Word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that is a simple, straightforward verse from the Word of God. And as always, we look to God for His blessing upon what we have read. Throughout the month of April, this was the verse back in the Sunday school in Whitburn that the boys and girls took home every Sunday to try and learn. And I was so glad today that 15 children were able to stand up and repeat this verse. Word perfect, and it was wonderful to see them getting their prize for remembering this verse and being able to repeat this verse. I really like this verse from the Bible because it presents to us one of the greatest promises that has ever been given. This is not just a statement of fact, and it is, but this is a promise from Almighty God that the youngest child can take in, and the oldest, most cynical, hard-hearted adult can absorb and rely upon. This is a promise from God. God says in His Word to us, in Fife tonight, in Leaven, He says to us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a promise. This is God who cannot lie. This is a God who it is impossible for Him to lie, because He is absolute truth. He is righteous. He is holy. He is the God of eternity, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And God says to us tonight in 2018, this lovely May evening, He says, "If you call upon the name of My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." If you call to Him in sincerity, if you call to Him out of a sense of deep need of salvation, if you call upon Him sincerely, if you call upon Him in your need, you'll be saved. And that is what we're longing for tonight. I wonder who and who has not, in our meeting this evening, made that vital call. I wonder who the individuals are who have taken God at His word and relied upon the promise of God and rested on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and called upon the Lord for salvation. Have you ever made that vital call? It's the most important call you'll ever make. It's the most important matter that you'll ever face, the matter of your soul's salvation. And what I would like to do this evening is to consider with you three important aspects of this verse. Three very important words. I want to think about the importance of being saved. I want to single out the Lord who saves sinners. And I want to tell you that this promise goes out to everyone, to the whosoever. You see, an amazing thing about this verse, about this promise from God, is that on three different occasions in the Bible, he has made this promise known to mankind. You know, God, if he says a thing once, we his creatures, we his subjects, should have ears to hear. We should be listening to God's word, because God holds our breath in his hand. In God we live and we move and we have our being. He is the God, whether you like it or not, with whom we all have to do. Some people ignore that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And God perhaps is not relevant to you tonight. But the bottom line is this. We're going to meet our Maker one day. We're either going to meet him saved and in a right relationship with him through faith in his Son, having relied upon his promises and trusted in his Son, or we're going to meet him as a righteous, sin-hating God who we do not know, who we have ignored. We have failed to call upon. We have held out at arm's length. We have lived as though he does not exist. We've lived without God. We've died without God. And when we meet him on that judgment day, we will be lost and expelled from his presence into the lake of fire forever. So we need to listen to God's word. We need to waken up and open our ears and consider the greatness of God. And God, on three separate occasions, not just once, nor even twice, but three times he has underlined, three times he's put the exclamation mark at the end of this verse, and he has said to us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does it in the Old Testament, in the little book of Joel, at the end of the Old Testament. The prophet Joel, in chapter 2, I think it's verse 32, the promise is made. You see, God in the little book of Joel is dealing primarily in the Old Testament with one nation, Israel. And he'd done so much for that nation. He'd chosen them. He'd looked after them. He'd blessed them with innumerable blessings, but they'd become obdurate and hard-hearted and fruitless and reckless and disobedient. And God has given them a warning, because in Joel chapter 2, the emphasis of the chapter is a warning. They must be saved. They must turn away from their sin of rebellion and hard-heartedness and turn to God. And the promise is made in Joel 2:32, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You say, oh, that's not the same. There's one word difference. And you know as well as I do that it's a synonymous. To be delivered is the same as being saved. If you get into trouble, I know it's been a lovely day today, but I don't think many people will be out swimming down the road. But if you felt like a swim and you got into trouble and you were drowning, you would need to be delivered from drowning. You need to be saved, delivered from danger, rescued from perishing, saved, delivered. And that is the promise that goes out in Joel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. The emphasis very much, the first time this promise is made, is upon being saved. Now, if you attend meetings like this on a Sunday night regularly, you will have heard the importance of being saved. I wonder, are you saved? Saved from sin. You see, it is sin that is our biggest problem. It is sin, our personal sin against God, that separates us from God. Because God is holy, I've said that already. God is righteous. God is pure. God has a holy standard, sinless perfection. We are fallen creatures. We are flawed characters. The Bible said, There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We have all sinned and come short of God's standard, God's perfect standard. We've all fallen short. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, and we make God a liar. We are sinners by nature. That was the way we were born. We were all born with an inherited evil, fallen nature. We're all born with a bias towards evil. We're all born unrighteous, separated from God. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, the word of God says this, that our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our sin have separated between us and God. And God's face is hidden from us because of our sin. Sin separates. The wages of sin is death. We need to be saved from the penalty that our sins deserve. We need to be saved from the power that grips us, the power of sin. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, whosoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And I don't need to come here to a meeting, to a public meeting like this, to talk about individual sins and to sort of parade them and write them up on the wall. We know the potential of our hearts. We might shake our head in disgust as we see at the lengths and the wickedness of some people's sins. But if we are honest with ourselves and honest before God, we have sinned, all of us. We've all gone astray like lost sheep. And we need to be saved, because if we live in our sins, separated from God, without his salvation, without his forgiveness, without his son as our saviour, without being in a right relationship, not a religion, not being in a religion, but in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, and we go through life like that, and then ultimately we take our final flight in our life from time into eternity, if we die in our sins, the Lord Jesus says, in heaven where I am, you cannot come. We see, you see, we need to be saved from the consequences, the penalty, the punishment of God against sin. We need to be saved. And you know, the wonderful thing is this. There is salvation for sinners. And when you come to the next time this promise is made, you come to the book of the Acts, and you come to chapter 2, and it's very interesting. In the book of the Acts, just the previous book to the Romans, Acts is a very interesting book, because it's going from one era to another. You see, the Gospels tell the story, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John tell the story of the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you have the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary's cross. You have his burial and you have his resurrection. And you know, at the end of the Gospels, before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, goes back to heaven, he gathers his disciples, his followers, to him in a mountain in Galilee. And he tells them, he says, I want you to go into the world. Go back to the world. Start at Jerusalem. Start in this country. And then broaden out your vision to the whole world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. What is the gospel? Gospel is God's good news. It's God's good story concerning his son, the most significant person that has ever lived, dealing with the most important matter that will ever be heard, the matter of God's answer to the problem of sin in the person of his son, the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. He says to his disciples, the Lord Jesus says, even though the world have unanimously rejected me, and even though the world put me on a cross, I want to tell them, I want you to tell them that there is salvation available through faith in me, in my name. Do you know the disciples did that? As the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, they started to do what they were commissioned to do. They preached the gospel. And you come into the book of the Acts, And it's just a few weeks after the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the commission that he gave. And Peter and James and John and Andrew and Thomas and the rest of the disciples, they stand up and they preach the gospel. And what did they preach? In Acts chapter 2. Whosoever, verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know the wonderful thing? At the end of that day, 3,000 people, 3,000, do exactly what the verse says. They call. They call. And you know the emphasis in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21? It's all about the Lord who saves. You see, I've tried to underline the importance of being saved. We must be saved. Is a tremendous message from Acts 4 verse 12. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man, but a religious sinner. He says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you know, the wonderful thing is this. When it's pointed out the must of God's salvation, when the need of salvation is pointed out, the wonderful privilege of a gospel preacher is this: to tell people who know they need to be saved, who sense their danger and know their need, that there is provision, there is salvation, that there is an answer. Christ is the answer. And in Acts 2:21, the answer is the Lord. Do you know my Lord tonight? Do you know my Saviour? Have you ever come to have a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus by faith? Have you ever realised that He is the only one who can reach and rescue you? He's the only Saviour. You come a few pages further on in the book of the Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, and Peter's preaching again, and again thousands are saved. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the wonder of it. The promise is centred in the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who saves sinners. It's all about Him. When you come to realise your need of Him, and when you come to realise how accessible He is and how precious He is, you know, He gives a wonderful promise Himself in John chapter 6. He says, Him that comes to me, or her, male or female, young or old, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This man, this wonderful man, receives sinners. He makes a promise and gives a written guarantee. He says, if you come to me, if you call on me, if you look to me, if you trust in me, I will save you. And it's all about the Lord. You know, Peter, who's doing the preaching in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, the big fisherman, as we call him, one of the followers of the Lord Jesus, the disciples. In Matthew chapter 14, you read a wonderful, wonderful story of Peter being saved physically that really illustrates beautifully this verse. Peter was a fisherman, but one day he got into danger. He got into trouble on the Sea of Galilee, and he's drowning in the water. He's going under the waves. He needs someone to rescue him. He can't save himself. He's drowning. That's what it means to be saved. I looked at a dictionary not so very long ago, a children's dictionary. The word salvation, or the word saved, to be rescued from danger. There's Peter, he's drowning. He's going to die. And yet he sees the Lord Jesus. And he says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. What is Peter doing? He's calling on the name of the Lord. What does the Lord Jesus do? Immediately stretches out his hand and lifts Peter from the waves, from the sea, rescues him, saves him. That is a very simple illustration of what it means to be saved, what it means to call upon the name of the Lord, and what it means to be saved
physically from the danger that we're in. Transfer that spiritually. Our sin. You might not be able to see the danger that you're in. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to meet God. We know what the Bible says at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Just as we might remember the date we were born, sure we all still remember the date we were born. Well, just as there's a date when we were born and we came into this world, there's the date that God knows when we will leave this world. And if that day comes without us calling upon the name of the Lord, we will be lost forever, separated from God. That's what it means to be lost. To be separated, to be stranded, to be straying as lost sheep, and ultimately stranded, separated from God forever. God is in heaven. Christ is in heaven. Christians who have died are in heaven. Their souls are in heaven. But if you never call upon the name of the Lord, if you never come to God and confess your guilt and repent of your sin, turn away from your wicked way and come to God longing for a new life, longing for a right relationship, longing for Christ to be your Saviour, if you never do that, you will not be in heaven. You will be ultimately in the lake of fire forever. But here's the great news. Nobody needs to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's why it's the Lord Jesus Christ you have to call on, because he is the Son of God. He's the unique Son, his only begotten, that was sent. The Bible says, 1 John 4 verse 14 says, that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God came down from heaven. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came out of love. And he came out of mercy, on a mercy mission. And he came into this world. And he never ceased to be the Son of God, but he became a real man. And yet, in becoming a real man, he never became a sinner, because he is the sinless, perfect, holy Son of God. And for 33 and a half years, he was on this earth, born at Bethlehem, and he died at the cross at Calvary. And those 33 and a half years brought infinite joy and pleasure to the heart of God. But the end of those 33 and a half years, after all the miracles, after all the parables, after all the messages, after all the healings, after all the love that was dispensed, and all the glory that was brought to God through the life of the Lord Jesus, he went to the cross because he came to die. He came to lay a righteous basis through his shed blood, through his cross work at Calvary. He came to lay down his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I have come to do the will of the Father, he said. I've come to finish his work. I've come to open up a way back into God's presence that was barred by sin, by giving my sinless life, by shedding my precious blood. And whosoever calls upon me shall be saved. Whosoever believes in me, whosoever puts his confidence in me, whosoever trusts in me and believes that I'm the Son of God and I'm the Saviour that they need, whosoever receives the Lord Jesus Christ, has their sins forgiven, has peace with God, has a right relationship, has eternal life, has heaven as their future. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. And it all starts with a call. A vital call. Have you made it? The emphasis is very much on the Lord. He is the only one that can reach and rescue. There's no salvation apart from him. Please don't be deluded. Please don't be confused. you don't get, you know, a totting up points for coming to meetings. And Christianity doesn't run in the blood. God has got no grandchildren. Every single one of us has a wayward, evil, sinful nature. And we've sinned against God. So we need to come personally, with no merit of our own, with no righteousness of our own, and put our trust, put our hope, put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only Christ that can save sinners. Because of who he is, because of what he has done, and because of where he is now, he is in heaven. And that's why he is able to save, because of who he is. But listen, you come to Romans chapter 10, and here's the third time this promise is made. And the emphasis very much in this chapter, the context is very much about the great worldwide opportunity that men have. Whosoever, that's the word. I know it's not an up-to-date modern word that is used on a daily basis. It's very old-fashioned, but I think we all capture what it means. Whosoever means everyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If you're still looking at Romans chapter 10, look at verse 11. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Look at verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It goes out beyond religious barriers, racial barriers, male, female, whosoever, no discrimination. All inclusive. What a wonderful message the gospel is. God's good news. And the gospel is being preached to you through this promise tonight. And it's God who's making the promise. And it's concerning the Lord Jesus who saves sinners. But it's you who has to make that call. If you've never done it before, this is vitally important that you address this to me. Says in the book of Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It is now time to seek the Lord. It is now time to make that vital call. Because there's no differences. I've said that already. It's the same Lord who is rich over all to all that call upon him. Age, background, no differences. Whosoever. No difficulties as well. You know, people make excuses and they say, I have never called upon the name of the Lord because of A, B, C, X, Y, Z. The difficult part was done by the Lord Jesus at Calvary. We had done all the sinning. We had done all the straying. He did all the suffering. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He cried with a loud voice at the end of his Calvary sacrifice, it is finished. He did all the suffering. He endured the righteous anger of a just God against sin. He endured it. In hours of darkness upon the cross, the Lord Jesus, the sinless one, endured the sin, judgment of a guilty world. God meted it out. Old Testament book of Zechariah says this. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. The Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross endured the judgment of God to open up a righteous basis, to lay a righteous basis where a righteous God can come out on a righteous ground and righteously pardon every sinner who believes in the Lord Jesus. This is God's way of salvation. This is not man's ingenuity. This is not, well, religion is man-made. Religion is man's way of trying to get right with God. This is God's initiative. This is God's plan of salvation. It's all about Christ. But we've got a responsibility to believe. We've got a responsibility to call. We've got a responsibility to rest and trust in God's word and Christ's work. Have you done that? You know, the wonderful thing is this. He gives no doubts, the Lord Jesus, when we call on him. We don't wait and hope for the best and wait and see. Immediately when we call, he saves, he rescues. He's never turned a sincere seeker away. And he gives no disappointments as well. Nobody has ever been disappointed when they call on the Lord Jesus. You know, I say this very, very carefully. You're never put in a call waiting line. And you never have a person who hangs up on you. And you never ever get an engaged line. Reminds me actually of a girl that I spoke to once at an airport, and her phone wasn't working. There was no service, or she maybe didn't have any money, and I can't quite remember. I think she had no reception, no service on her phone, and she was desperate to speak to her mum. She was a student, and she was going away down to Bristol on the same flight as I was, and she was really wanting to speak to her mum. The flight was delayed, but she couldn't speak. She couldn't get through. And I said to her, well, you can use my phone, because I've just spoken to my wife 5 minutes ago. Use my phone. And she phoned, and the tears were gone, and she was, everything was within its proper place again. It meant so much to her to speak to her mum. Hours later, in fact, as I was going to bed that night, I thought about what had happened. It came back into my mind, and I thought of this verse. And I thought, you know, the tragedy is this. There's no service in hell. You can't get in touch with God after you die in your sins. That's why it's so important to make that vital call now. Now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. Maybe you have been for years and years and years putting off making this call. Have you ever realized the danger that you're in? Have you ever realized that tomorrow is not yours to call? Tomorrow's just eternity hid from your view. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Bank holiday, we might never see it, any of us. Might never be another gospel meeting. Might never be another opportunity to make that call. And remember that it's now the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Tomorrow might be too late. So please remember that. After you die, it's all over. With regards to getting saved. Now's the time to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please take this promise to heart. Please don't reject the Lord Jesus another evening. He's inviting you, he's calling, he's longing for you to call to him. May this be the night when you do that for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, we do give thanks for the uncomplicated plan of salvation. We praise thee, our God, for the Lord Jesus. He is a saviour worthy of all acceptation. We pray that someone, for the very first time in our meeting, will come from darkness into light and call upon the name of the Lord. We ask this for our Saviour's glory. Amen. Could we sing some verses to close our meeting? 399. We'll sing the first three verses only of this hymn. Remaining seated, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of 399. May this be the language of your heart this evening. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting thee for pardon. At thy feet I bow for thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. The first three verses, remaining seated, and then our meeting is over. Thank you for listening.